where I left off last week. And you know, our Lord, He condescended. Oh, the condescension, how He humbled Himself to come into this world. And then He humbled Himself to converse, to go have dealings with people like this, like us, like this woman living in adultery. And as we looked at this conversation that our Savior had with this woman of Samaria, there at Sychar's well, it was a well that Jacob had purchased, bought it. That's what Sychar means. It means purchase. The well of purchase. And he had bought it. And then he had given it to his son Joseph. Reuben should have got it, but Reuben had dishonored his father immensely. And being the firstborn, he even lost his birthright. And here he gave it to his son Joseph. And so it's Joseph who was owner of this well. But we have, in this way our Lord dealt with this woman here, we have illustrated how our Lord graciously deals with sinners. Graciously deals with sinners. And that's why if you ever find one, they set up and pay attention to what you got to say. If you ever find one, he'll pay attention to what you have to say. First of all, the Lord took the initiative. He must needs go through Samaria.
Amen.
He got there right before that woman did. They got there about the same time. He's sitting on the well, showing us his humanity, wearied with his journey. Here she come to get water, surprised anybody was there. And our Lord took the initiative. He was the first to speak. And He must be the first to speak to us. If we hear anything, He got to start it. Anything happens, He's got to start it. And His first word to her was give. Give. That the first word out of His mouth to this woman was give. Confront with grace. Everything must be given. Can't be earned, can't be bought, can't be merited. The next word, give to me. What in the world can a sinner give to the Lord Jesus Christ? Give to me. So what He done was He directed him, her thoughts to Himself.
Yeah.
That's what the gospel does. That's what Christ does. What the Holy Spirit does. He directs our thoughts and this woman's thoughts to Himself. And the woman reveals her prejudices to and her bigotry. She said, you being a Jew, how do you have a dealings with a Samaritan like me? That just don't happen. That doesn't do. That doesn't do. This shows that the carnal mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God. And our Lord showed how ignorant she was to the way of salvation and how ignorant she was to His own glory. He says to her, if you knew the gift of God, it's a gift. If you knew the gift of God, and if you knew my own glory, if you knew the gift of God and who it is, who it is that speaketh unto thee. And what's this? He said, you'd ask of Him. Him. And He would have given you. He. So He directs His thoughts to Him. He's the gift of God. He's the one that gives it. He's the one that gives it. And He refused, or He referred to eternal life using water as a figure. If you'd have asked of me, I would have given you living water. Living water. We can't live without water. But our Lord says, I'll give you water that you will live by. It's living water, continually, constantly living water. And it's the eternal life that I give. So if she had knew God's gift, she would have asked of Him. She would have asked of Him. And now watch where the conversation goes from here now. Watch this. In verse 11, the woman saith unto him, sir, she addressed him as sir, she's a little respectful, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. So where in the world are you going to get this living water? You don't have a bucket. You don't have anything to draw water out of this well with. Well, where in the world are you going to get this living water? Huh? You see, she's continually blind to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's blind to Him and who it is that's talking to her. See, she saw no beauty about Him that she should desire. There was no comeliness about Him. All she saw was a Jew standing there. And that's about all that anybody sees of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is a man in a manger or on a cross. Not one who's in glory, as Pam sang about, with all power and grace in His hands. She was blind. She is full of unbelief. And I ask you this, is she to be pitied or does she be blamed for her prejudice, for her unbelief toward the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, most people are willfully ignorant. You confront them with the truth. And they say, that's not the way I see it. That's not the way I believe it. That's not the way I understand it. So most people are willfully ignorant, willfully blind, willfully prejudiced against the Word of God, willfully prejudiced against the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, ain't that the truth? Most people would rather trust their opinions or what their preacher tells them than to get to pick the Bible up and read for themselves.
Amen.
I heard a preacher just yesterday trying to preach it, said he's preaching on regeneration. He never got a spitting distance of regeneration. All he said regeneration was just a revelation. Well, if you're not born again, what's going to be? You're going to reveal something to the natural man? No. Here's this woman, the light of heaven Himself is in her presence. God manifest in the flesh is talking to her.
Amen.
And she's as deaf as a post and blind as a bat and as hard-hearted as another millstone. Now, we don't feel sorry for her because she willfully rejects the Lord Jesus Christ, willfully ignorant and blind to Him. And then she was occupied with material things, things that you could see, things that she could understand, things that's natural. She says there, you don't have anything to draw with, and this well is deep. She's thinking about wells and buckets. Wells and buckets, something that you got to do with you can do naturally. She is natural in her thinking. All men are that way. Nicodemus said, how can a man when he's old be born again? Thinks naturally. That's what they said to Job. They think naturally. When they came to Job, they said, Job, you must have done an awful sin for God to be punishing you like this. Natural thinking. Oh my, it's this worldly thinking. This Satan's way of getting a soul occupied with anything but Christ. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. She's thinking about how well deep the well is, and there ain't no way to get water out of it. He can't get any water. I don't have a bucket. Where's he going to get water from? Strictly natural thinking. I don't care whether the devil presents you a water pot or a palace. As long as it keeps anyone from the light of the glorious gospel, he's tickled to death.
That's right.
He wants you to be occupied with something going on in the church, some sin somebody's committed, some person in your life, something going on in your life, something he wants to keep you occupied. He don't care what it is. As long as he can keep you from seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, as long as he can make you think of yourself as something natural and keep you from seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, ain't that right? And then she said, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. Now, her mind was on the means rather than the end. He said, living water. She's wondering how in the world is going to get it. She's concerned about the means. She's concerned with the effort, not the result. Paul shout, how do you do? Said, just ask. He didn't say nothing about buckets.
That's right.
He didn't say nothing about wells. He didn't say nothing about her doing anything. He said, all you got to do is ask. And I've given you living water. She is concerned about the means. Where's the bucket? That's what folks want, you see. It won't be her efforts or anyone else. Christ giving to her the living water. And I tell you what she is doing, and most people do this, they limit our Lord to the use of means. He can't give this living water without something to draw it with. So you know we got to have something to draw with. He got the living water, but we got to do something to get it.
We got to go to the altar. We got to join the church. We got to be baptized. We got to pray through. We got to get on our knees. We got to shed so many tears. And she limited him to means. Oh my. I tell you, God acts independent. He can use means or not use means.
That's right.
Only thing that I know without a shadow of a doubt that he uses is his word. Everything he's ever done, he's done it with his word.
Amen.
Now you look at how many times he's done things for people. He told Lazarus to come forth. And he came forth just with his word. He touched that casket for the young man to be led. Just touched the casket. And he went and got the young lady, the 12-year-old girl, by the hand. One man, he gave him sight with his blind by taking a mix of that clay and putting it on his eyes. Another fellow, Bartimaeus, he said, "What do you want me to do for you that you might receive a sight?" He said, "Go. You've got it." Another man, he spit in his eyes. That's an odd way of making a fellow see. Spit in his eyes, he spit in both of his eyes, and he said, "What do you see?" "I see ministries walking."
Yeah.
And he touched him again. He may touch you, he may send a word. But he's going to save you his way on his terms, and he's going to deal with you as you are. Bartimaeus, you just start crying out. Another fellow, he put mud in his eye. One man he reached to get a hold of, another man he speaks to. Another says, "Oh, he caught create such faith in him." They say, if I can just touch it, the hem of his garment. Two fellows come and said, "Oh Lord, please give us our sight." He said, "You believe that I'm able to do this?" Yes. According to your faith then. So you see that she's going to live with his means. We can't have any water without a bucket. Christ is the living water. Don't think your faith is the bucket. Don't think your works is the bucket.
That's right.
Don't think your church attendance is the bucket. Don't think you've got to come up here to be the bucket. No. He's the living water, and he sits at the right hand of God. And he gives it to whom he will. And oh my, he created the world by speaking. He rained manna from heaven. He furnished water in the wilderness out of a rock. Gave Samson honey out of a carcass of a lion. So you think he can give this woman living water? And she said, "Whence?" Isn't that what she said? "Whence hast thou this living water? Or how? Where are you going to get it at?" She said, "How are you, being a Jew, have anything to do with me?" It's a Samaritan. She wondered how. Now he's going to show her. She wants to know where. She wants to know where and how you're going to get this. She says, "Well, the well is deep. The well is deep. I'll tell you how deep it is. It's so deep you and I can't get in it. We can't drink any water out of it. Where shall a man get this living water? Is he going to go to the law and start working for it? By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Is he going to go to his flesh? Paul said, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Is he going to do it by his own strength, pull himself up by his bootstraps? For when we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, this living water, our Lord said, if you would have knew the gift of God, you would have asked of him. He would have given you this living water. He'd give it to you. It's not a wage to be earned. It's not a prize to be sought. It's not a crown to be won. It's a gift of God's free grace in Christ.
Amen.
The well is deep. Too deep for us to bring up the water. But not for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what's what she says now? Verse 12. "Are you greater? Are you greater than our father Jacob?" Huh? "Are you greater than our father Jacob?" Well is deep. But her ignorance of Christ and her ignorance of salvation and her own deep need, there's something deeper yet. The grace had brought him down. She said, art thou greater than Jacob? Oh my. She's speaking to Jacob's God. She's speaking to the one that laid hold of Jacob one night in Bethel. Named it Bethel after that night. For this is the house of God. Came and laid hold on him and changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Changed his walk and made a covenant with him and gave him to be the father of a whole nation. Are you greater than Jacob? She asked how. Now she's asking where. But oh, thank God. Are you greater? Oh, my. Greater than Solomon's here. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced to see it. Oh, my. Thank God our Lord won't be denied. Instead of leaving her in her stupidity and leaving her in her blindness, he deals with her in grace. Oh, my. Look what she says now. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Our father Jacob, who gave us this well? Yeah, that's right. Jacob gave it to us. You know what? Jacob, they called him Jacob. They named it right. Our worm Jacob. It ain't no older than Jacob. A little older than Jacob. It's an ancient well. I mean, Abraham probably drank out of this well. Water over there was precious, and it's still precious. Jacob and his children drank from it until God done something for them. It's a well. It's an ancient well, but oh, it's got the right name, Jacob, worm Jacob. All it can do is satisfy the natural thirst. They got to come again, and again. Every day got to come get water. Every day got to come get water. Y'all remember when you had springs and wells, you had to go get water all the time. You'd get so tired of having to go get water. Mama said, go get some water. Need some water. Oh, you pack that water, pack that water, pack that water. And then you had a dipper, you know, and if you stood over the well bucket with the dipper, they'd slap you upside your head and say, get away from that well. Don't stand over the bucket and drip water back in the bucket. And you know, and if there's any left in it, you know, they'd put it over here in the pan, you know, to wash dishes with, or wash your hands with later. They didn't throw it out the back door, you know, when you took a dipper full, you didn't go in the back door and throw it out. No, no, you back it from the well, you're not going to throw it back in. So, I mean, that's what they're doing here. You know, she come there to get water out of Jacob's well. But there's a well that's so deep, she can't get any water out of it. There's a well that's so deep, and the need is so deep that only Christ can give you that water. Huh? Our Lord answered her in verse 13. Jesus answered in her and said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Even natural water makes you drink again and again and again and again. First thing I do every morning, I drink two big glasses of water. Big ones. First thing I do every single morning. Drink lots and lots of water. But material things cannot quench man's thirst. Man's always thirsting for something. Always desiring something. And he thinks, if I can just get this. And that's why she said, you drink out of this well, you'll be back here tomorrow to get some more. You drink out of the well of fame, you're going to have to come back and drink out of it again. Because when you get so much of it, it's not enough. You've got to have some more. Huh? If you get some glory, that's not enough. You're going to have to keep going back and get a little more. You get some honor, you want some more of it. You get some pleasure, you want some more of it. You get some riches, you want some more of it. You learn a little bit of philosophy, you want some more of it. Show people how smart you are. You learn a little bit of something about science, you want to go back and learn some more. Drink and you'll thirst again. You see, there's four realms which can never satisfy man's needs. Four realms. The first one's material. There's not a material thing in this world that can satisfy you. That's why you got to keep going back and getting more and more and more and more and more. Nothing in this world can ever satisfy for your heart and your conscience. You got to have more and more and more. And things that's mental, intelligence, will never satisfy you.
I don't care how smart you are, how intelligent you are, and how much you learn. You'll always be wanting to learn something else and make you intelligent, make you a little more smart. Somebody called you, can get every doctor's degree in the world. Become a doctor, fly and everything, but your intelligence will never satisfy. Social. You have all these friends. You have all these social gatherings and all these people that you know. But that won't satisfy you. Friends come, friends go. Social gatherings come and they go. And you leave them and you go back and you get with them again. And that don't satisfy you. And religion surely can't satisfy you. Religion can't satisfy you. I've never met anybody yet in religion. I was in religion a good while. I started out in Pentecostalism. That didn't satisfy me. Speaking in tongues and jumping benches didn't do it. Then I became a fundamental legalist. Changed the way I dressed, got rid of my television, quit smoking, quit chewing, and run around with anybody else that did. That didn't satisfy me. Prayed on altars, gave 10% of everything I had, got on the radio, did everything I possibly could. Nothing satisfied me until Christ gave me a drink of living water. Now ain't that right? I heard Brother Henry say this morning, he said, boy, I said, talking about religion, he said, boy, I said, you need to keep your religion in the church. He said, that's exactly right. Keep it in the church. But the gospel in Christ has got to go with you everywhere you go. He said, well, keep your religion in the pulpit. That's right. Keep it in the pulpit. But if you know Christ in the gospel, he's at your house, he's in your heart, he's in your home, he's on your job, he's everywhere you are. He's in your he's your life. Religion can't satisfy you. He said, if you knew the gift of God, you'd have asked of him, he would have given you living water. Ain't that right? Only living water can satisfy, and only Christ can give that. I was a man who had everything this world had to offer. Luke 16, that rich man. The scripture said that was a rich man who fared dressed in purple. Purple as royalty. Dressed in purple and fared sumptuously every day.
Yes, sir.
Sumptuously. And there's a man sat at his gate. Lazarus, full of sores, and the dog licked him. I read that this morning. I thought to myself, I don't want no dog licking me. I got a dog. He's old. I've had him since his little pup. He's this deaf and pitiful shape now. But I've never let that dog lick me. If he ever licks my hand, I slap him away. I go wash my hands immediately. I don't want no dog licking me, and I don't want to lick no dog. I don't want to be in no dog's face. I don't want no dog's face in mine. But here's a man in such bad shape that he didn't even care that the dog licked him. All of a sudden, life came to an end for both of them. Lazarus, in all his poverty, in all of his sickness, in all of his weakness, in all of his nothingness, he went to glory.
Amen.
That rich man, with all of his wealth and all of his riches and all of his sumptuousness, he went to hell. And he ended up wanting just one thing. Would you let that Lazarus, just dip his finger in the water. Dip it in the water. And cool my parched tongue. He said, son, in your lifetime, you had everything you could have possibly wanted. Lazarus didn't have nothing. Now he's got everything, you got nothing. Which would you rather be? He had the living water. That other fella, never going to be satisfied. He's going to spend eternity. He's still in hell. Want just a drop of water on his tongue. Just a drop. Oh my. Now he thirsts eternally. Thirsts eternally. Just wants just a drop of water. And our Lord told this woman, if you had knew the gift of God, I'd give you living water. Living water. Then watch what he says here in verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him.
Yes, sir.
That I shall give him shall never thirst. Never thirst. It'll be a well of water. A whole well inside of you. She had a Jacob's well. He said, there'll be a well
inside of you. Huh? Springing up into everlasting life. Oh, this is real satisfaction. A well of water within the believer. Can't run it dry. You can't run it dry.
Amen.
You ain't a well in this county. You know, out there, there's not a well nowhere that you can't run dry. If you let it run, I'll put enough powerful enough pump on it and open up the valve. It's going to run dry. It may come back up, but you can run it dry. But this is a well that will not run. Nothing you can do will make it run dry. That's right. Oh my, you know, how many times has this water in you come and refreshed you, come and encouraged you, come and satisfied you? Driving in your car, you begin to thank God. Getting ready to come to meeting, coming in the service, and that well starts welling up in you. Oh my. Can't run it dry because it comes from God in Christ. It's ever fresh, ever flowing. And I'll tell you something about water. Everybody knows this. Water seeks its own level. Wherever water starts coming in at, that's where it's going to stop. Ain't going to get any higher now. Water seeks its own level. And the water that's in us seeks its own level. Seeks Christ.
Amen.
Ain't that right?
Amen.
That's we seek Him. Oh, that's what He says. Drinketh. Oh my, ain't this something? Drinketh. Taking it into our need continually, constantly. And He said, I shall give. I'll give it. You don't buy it. You don't earn it. It's a gift. And you'll never thirst. Never thirst. And all since I've known the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know this too, you never, ever sought anything else as far as your relationship with God goes. Is that not right? You don't seek another righteousness. You don't seek another forgiveness. You don't seek another justification. You found everything you need in Christ. He satisfied you. And He continually satisfies you. And He says, you shall never thirst. That shows us the fullness of this well. Never thirst. Never thirst shows us the enjoyment of this well. The eternality of it shall never thirst. It's eternal. And it satisfies. You can't lose it. You'll never thirst. It's ours and it's ours now. And oh, watch what happens now. He got her attention. Got her attention. She says, sir? She's talking the right language now. Give! Oh, I'm ready to take. You give me this water. Give me this water that I thirst not. Neither come here to draw. Oh, she's getting a little light now. Getting a little light now. She's still in the dark. So I don't have to come here and draw. She's still thinking in natural terms. She's still thinking in natural terms. Is He going to give her water where she don't ever have to drink natural water again? Still thinking, I don't have to come here. You see, the natural mind can only operate in the natural realm. But she did say give.
Yes.
Give so I don't have to labor for water again. Now, she's willing to receive from a Jew. You being a Jew, you know Jews don't have any deals with Samaritans. Oh, sir, you may be a Jew, but you give me this living water. But yet our Lord ain't done with her yet. Christ got to get to the heart. He gets to the heart. He goes to the heart of the matter. He goes right to the heart. Watch what she says now. Go, call your husband, and come back. Uh-huh. She says He gives her two things to do. Go. But come right back here. Go and come right back. If you really want this living water, you're going to have to come clean with yourself, and you're going to have to come clean with me.
Amen.
You're going to have to find out who you are. You're going to have to learn that. He could have just said go. Don't have nothing else to do with you. But he also says, come back. Go. She'll come back to Christ. And when she comes back to the Lord Jesus, she's going to come back to her in her true character. And you know, and here's a mysterious thing about it. She never went anywhere. She never left the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. He just told her to go. She said, I ain't going now. He made her, confronted her right where she was. She didn't have to go anywhere and do anything. He says, you go and call your husband. She's going to come to Christ. She's going to come to Christ and back to Christ. And even though she's right there in his presence, when he says go, she's going to come back to him in her true character. She's going to stand there in her true character. Grace is what condescended to deal with her. But truth is going to make her own herself in the sight of Christ, and Christ is here. Go get your husband. Oh, what wisdom, what grace in Christ. He knew her and knew her sin. She's the one that's got to learn her sin.
Amen.
Christ knew her. Christ knew what she was, knew what she did, knew her character, knew her heart, knew all her life, knew her before she was ever born. That's why he must needs go through Samaria. Now she must needs. Oh, the wisdom, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge is in him. And she said, the woman answered and said, sir, I don't have a husband. I don't have one. Our Lord said unto her, well, you told the truth. You've come clean. You've been honest. You've told the truth. I have no husband. You said, you're coming clean now. Well, I'm intending to get married. I intend to become an honest woman. I'll go home and get married, then I'll come back. That's what most folks would say. You go home and you get rid of that man, then you come back to church. It's like one time I was up. I'll tell you this story. True story. There's an old preacher, old Rolf Barnard. He went to this place to preach one time, and he was invited for supper to these people's house. And this woman's husband owned a beer joint, bar. And every preacher come in there told him that he couldn't be saved until he got rid of that bar. Until he got rid of that beer joint. He said, God'll save you and you get rid of that beer joint. Well, they're sitting there eating supper, and that guy said to old Barnard, said, preacher, I guess you know I own a beer joint, don't you, Bar? Yeah, that's what they tell me to do. He said, you know, everybody tells me that I can't be saved till I sell that bar. He said, what do you think? What do you think? See, they gave him something to do. He said, well, I tell you what. You come to Christ. You come hear the gospel. And whatever the Lord had you do, that's what's going to happen. He said, God don't save men because they don't. He saved men called what they are. And he started coming here in Old Barnard, got converted, then he sold his bar. Then he parted with his sin. Quickest way in the world to keep somebody from coming to Christ, give them something to do. Yeah, and I tell you what, when most folks get converted, they still got so much grave clothes and traditions and foolishness about them. Oh my goodness. Oh, tough. But oh, she said, go call your husband. She said, Oh me, I want this living water. I want this living water. And he said he'd give it to me. Told me to go call my husband. I don't have one. So how am I going to go get him if I don't have one? Now the Lord said to her, you're right. You don't. You told me the truth. Oh, see, he's going to bring us to where we're going to tell the truth on ourselves. Oh, Al, she draws back that boat. Bam, Al hits its mark. Huh? That's like he told Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, he says, those that come to the light, you come to me at night, you come to me so you're causing your reputation, you come by yourself and found me by myself so you can guard your reputation. You're a master of Israel. You're in the Sanhedrin. He said, but he that doeth the truth, he that wants to be made manifest that he knows me and believes the truth, rejoices in the truth, he comes, he that doeth the truth comes in the light. He comes when it's daylight. He comes when everybody can see. He comes while it's light. But everything that he's about him is made manifest that God done it.
All right.
Hey, that's it. Boy, that mark hit it too. And oh, boy. Look what this woman said. And our Lord told her, said, you've had five husbands. How in the world did he know she had five husbands? We meet people all the time. They don't tell how many they've had. Had too many. If you've had more than one, you've had too many. Ain't that the truth? Doris Mann told me the other day, said he went to preach for this preacher, and they came to one of the conferences down there, and Doris said, went up to the preacher and said, you know, I wasn't with Henry, and I'm sorry I didn't get to meet you. She said, oh, no, I know you never met me. He said, me and him, I just got married. So he got rid of his wife and had another. Doris said her mouth fell down like that. That's what I said. You've had five husbands. Five of them. You've been married five times. Now, whether they died, I don't know. Maybe they got rid of her. I don't know. But he said, you've had five husbands. And oh my. And the one you have right now, he's not your husband. Can't be your husband. Can't be. Huh? And you've told me the truth. You've told me the truth. See, the question of sin has to be addressed. The question of the heart. The question of what we are. What makes us do what we do. Has to be addressed. And our Lord just it's going to have to happen. Going to have to happen. The question of sin and righteousness must be settled in the presence of God Almighty. Now, he started out telling her, I've got living water and I give it. And if you knew who I am, I'd give it to you. She said, I want it. But she's going to have to own her sin. And she's going to have to see that he's righteous. And look what she said to him. The woman saith, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. You know, you're from God. You're from God. You know everything there is to know about me. And I ask you this. Has he addressed the issue of sin in your heart? Has he got you hemmed up and stripped you? And there you are. And you have to be honest right this minute. Right now, and you say, if he says, go and find me a work that you've done to make yourself acceptable with me. Go find something that you can come to me with besides your sin. Go find something and come back. Something to make me accept you. But all he says, if you knew the gift of God, you'd have asked of him, he'd give you living water. Ask him. Ask him. Be like this woman. She said, he said, go. She never took a step. She never took a step. That's what I love about the way our Lord deals with. When once he brings us, when he gets us alone with himself, like this woman. And he gets us alone right in a meeting like this, right in a service like this. When he gets us alone, it's just him and you, him and me, him and Jacob, whoever it is. When he gets us alone, there's only one issue has to be settled. Your sin and his righteousness.
Amen.
Your confession, I'm nothing, you're everything. I'm sin, you're righteousness. I'm disobedient, I need your obedience. I'm nobody, you're everything. I'm empty, would you fill me? I'm dumb, would you give me intelligence? I'm blind, would you give me sight? Absolutely nothing but standing there and say, sir, Lord, You know everything there is to know about me. I'm coming clean. I'm coming clean. God help you to do that. Our Father, in the gracious, holy, blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for allowing us to meet here today. Thank you for allowing us to deal with your word. Bless it to our hearts, our minds, our understanding. We ask it in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.